Oh, I hope everyone's doing well. It's a beautiful Monday. We're back. My name is Dayum.
I'm Ravel.
I'm Samir.
And my name is Simon.
And you're listening to
Forget About It on Radio Music.
This, once again, is Never Too Much by Luther Vandross, one of my favorite songs of all time. Let's just vibe out for a bit. Oh man, how was everybody doing? It is a wonderful Monday morning. Monday, August 8th?
No, 9th.
It's hot outside. Summer's hot. How are you guys?
I'm doing great, you know. The weather's amazing. I just love it. I'm just having a great weekend with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Rebel, how you doing?
I'm doing, you know, I'm very rested, so that's good.
I slept a lot. Yeah, me too. This weekend for me was a big rest week. I had a long, I had a long week last week. So then the weekend I took just to hang out. I went to the movies by myself because I just didn't want to do anything.
You deserve it.
I just wanted to watch some. I actually went to a thing. The movie I watched was called Green Knight. Mm-hmm. It was only playing in like the VIP movies. And it was
the crazy VIP movie.
Yeah, and it was the crazy experience of my life.
I've seen that movie. It was so boring.
Oh, you would hate it.
It was so boring.
You would hate it, I guarantee.
I left like within like 40 minutes.
Yeah. The thing with the movie, it's super slow and like abstract and like kind of poetic in a sense. So if you're not like a big movie nerd or like a wannabe filmmaker like me, you're not going to like that movie. But yeah. The VIP theater experience was so crazy.
Yeah, what is it? I've never...
Because, like, it's like a couch chair, which, I mean, it's a couch chair, so it made a lot of noise when I would try to lean back. Yeah. But other than that, like, there was this big, like, little tray next to you. Like, I sat down, I was like, I wasn't going to get food, but then they gave me this giant tray. Oh. And I was like, I have to get food. So then I got this a pack of Kit Kats, but then I couldn't open.
Food at the movie theater?
Yeah.
How much is it?
No, it's not free. It's not free. Okay. You have to pay for it. It's mad expensive, but you have to pay for it.
How much does the VIP thing cost?
It was a bit more. I think my ticket was like 15, but you have to be an adult to buy it. I didn't get any booze. But
they had them though, right?
Yeah. There's a whole bar and everything.
Oh, okay.
No, I got a Kit Kat, but then I couldn't open the Kit Kat, so I just sat with it next to me. It was like one of those weird Kit Kats with like plastic like bags. It wasn't just the Kit Kat. Maybe I just wasn't hungry enough.
Yeah.
But then I went home and I ate it, so it was cool. And you guys do anything interesting last weekend?
This weekend I actually went to a wedding for the first time in like 2 years. And it was so nice because I love weddings, so it was just so fun to like be able to go to one after so long.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday was just like my rest day,
right?
Yeah.
But the wedding you went to was when you were actually like helping not out. Yeah, helping.
Yeah,
I was gonna say participating, not participating, helping out.
Yeah, so much more fun. I really enjoy those.
Yeah. I've only weddings I've ever been to were like, it's like my dad's friend from university, daughter's cousin or something like that. So I've always just kind of showed up, sat, ate, and left. Mm-hmm. It's never been like a, okay, now you're going to do a speech. Okay, now he's going to move the lighting and he's going to put... No, I've never been part of that. What about you, Samir?
Yeah, I've just been kicking it.
Yeah?
It's kind of a chill weekend for me.
Mm-hmm.
I just get to relax with my friends and do what we usually do.
Oh, yeah?
Right. Okay, now we can segue into our next topic. Let's talk a little bit about Black Lives Matter and what Black Lives Matter is. So, Black Lives Matter is a movement founded by activists by Opal Tometi, Alicia Garza and Patrice Culoras on July 13th, 2013. So the movement was initially formed to protest against of George Zimmerman. So he's a police officer who was murdered at 17 years old by Trayvon Martin. He murdered Trayvon Martin, but was created to combat police brutality and racially motivated discrimination towards black people as a whole. In 2015, protests erupted in Baltimore, Maryland, after Freddie Gear, by after Freddie Gray was killed while in police custody. The protests were so heated that a state of emergency was called. Apart from these major events, Black Lives Matter was organized by has organized dozens, maybe even hundreds, of relatively smaller marches and rallies and protests. They are always active, and they even have a charter here in Toronto. Black Lives Matter was also a huge conversation in the sports world when NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick kneeled during the national anthem to express solidarity with Black Lives Matter movement to start a dialogue surrounding police brutality. In 2020, Black Lives Matter was as big as it is in the past after the murder of George Floyd. Protests were sparked around the U.S. and also around the world. In what felt like an unprecedented moment, it seemed as though it was in support of the Black Lives Matter movement.
Yes, yes, Black Lives Matter over the last decade has a storied history and has been a huge part of the cultural zeitgeist. I also want to take this moment to say rest in peace to Michael Brown, who was killed in Ferguson just 7 years ago today. But a big thing that came from Black Lives Matter was potential steps forward. And in the 2020 year where protests erupted really internationally was the idea of defunding the police and trying to prevent police brutality. Now, a lot of very gut reactions to defunding the police is, oh, if you defund the police, then who's going to stop you when you're getting robbed? Which is a very simplistic way of looking at it. The thing with defunding the police, at least in the way that I have interpreted it, is to understand the issue with policing, in my opinion, you have to understand the issue with crime and where it comes from. And in my opinion, crime comes from material conditions. It comes from things like poverty. Not to say that everything is poverty, but I believe that if you address the root cause of poverty, you address a lot of the things that tend to lead to crime. And when you look at somewhere like Toronto, especially for us from Regent Park, I know lots of people who have benefited a lot from things like Pathways, from things like youth workers in the community, that's put them in better positions that they would otherwise be in. So the idea with defunding the police and the idea that's presented towards us isn't just take money away from cops and put social workers in the streets. It's to create programs for young people, to create jobs programs, to try and bring people out of what we call the cycle of violence that is in our communities, and to try and prevent crime before it happens, because the policing as it is a reactionary thing. Police, they're not Superman. They're not going to show up as you're robbing a bank and stop you. The police will come after you post crime, I guess. It's not preventative. It's not going to end crime anytime soon, is the way I look at it. You know, crime is not going to, even though numbers may be up and down, it's not close to being over, right? And frankly, my position is that it just hasn't really worked yet and something else needs to be tried. And for me, I believe investing in the communities to create situations where people don't feel the need to, you know, maybe start selling drugs, joining up with people, any of that shit, you know, just doing their own thing in a legal sense.
Okay, so we have an upcoming interview. We're going to run a quick music break, and we'll catch you guys right after this song.
This is The Bigger Picture by Lil Baby.
Growing national outcry continues over the death of George Floyd.
Last night, people protesting in Minneapolis escalated as demonstrators were lashed by tear gas and rubber bullets.
The main message here
is that they want to see those officers involved.
They want to see those officers arrested.
Trade my 4x4 for a GC3, ain't no more free to speak. I gave him chance again, I even told him please. I find it crazy the police to shoot you and know that you dead but still tell you to freeze. Fucked up, I seen what I seen. I guess that mean hold him down if he say he can't breathe. It's too many mothers just grieving, they killing us for no reason. Been going on for too long to get even. Throw us in cages like dogs and hyenas. I went to court and they sent me to prison. My mama was crushed when they said I can't leave. First I was drunk, then I sobered up quick when I heard all that time that they gave to Talib. He got a life sentence plus
We just some products of our environment. How the fuck they gon' blame us? You can't fight fire with fire, I know, but at least we can turn off the flames. Some every color person ain't dumb, and all whites not racist. I be judging by the mind and heart, I ain't really in the face. Fuck up the way that we living is not getting better. You gotta know how to survive. Crazy, I had to tell all of my loved ones to carry a gun when they going outside. Stay in the mirror whenever you try. Overprotect, go crazy for mine. You gotta pay attention to the sign. Seem like the blind following the blind. Thinking about everything that's going on. I boost security up in my home. I'm with my kind of, they right or they wrong. I call him down here, pick up the phone, and it's 5 in the morning. He waking up on it. Tell him wherever I'm at, then they coming. I see blue lights, I get scared and start running. That shit be crazy, they post to protect us. Swords and handcuffs and arrest us. Why they go home at night, that shit messed up. Knowing we needed help, they neglect us. One of them who gon' make them respect us. I can see in your eye that you fed up. Fuck around, got my shot, I won't let up. They know that we a problem together. They know that we can storm anywhere. It's bigger than black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life. It can't change overnight. But we gotta start somewhere. Might as well go ahead, start here. We done had a hell of a year. I'ma make it count why I'm here. God is the only man I fear. Fuck it, I'm going on the front line. He gon' bust your ass if you come past that gun line. You know when the storm go away, then the sunshine. Gotta put your head in the game when it's crunch time. I want all my sons to grow up to be monsters. I want all my daughters to show out in public. Seem like we losing our country, but we gotta stand up for something. So this what it comes to. Every video I see on my conscience. I got power now, I gotta say something. Corrupt the police been the problem where I'm from. But I'd be lying if I said it was all of them. I ain't do this for the trend, I don't follow them. Altercations with the law, had a lot of them. People speaking for the people, I'm proud of them. Stick together, we can get it up out of them. I can't lie like I don't rap about killing and dope, but I'm telling my youngest to vote. I deal with that diggers, I didn't have no choice and no hope. I was forced to just jump in and go. This bullshit is all that we know, but it's time for a change. Got time to be serious, no time for no games. Ain't taking no more, let us go for them chains. God bless they soul, every one of them names. It's bigger than black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life. It can't change overnight. But we gotta start somewhere. Might as well go ahead, start here. We done had a hell of a year. I'ma make it count why I'm here. God is the only man I fear. They training officers to kill us, then shooting protesters with these rubber bullets. They regular people, I know that they feel us. These scars too deep, they heal us. What happened to COVID? Nobody remember, it ain't making sense. I'm just here to vent. It happened to one of your people, it's different. We get it, the system is wicked, just learn how to pick it. Knowledge is power, I swear I'm a witness. I know that I'm gifted, I won't go too deep, cause I'm scared they'll get me. Ain't scared to admit it, some shit I can't mention. It's people who can, well here's the chance. I won't take the stand, but I'll take a stand for what I believe. Must not be breathing the air that I breathe. You know that the way that I bleed, you can bleed. I never been a fan of police, but my neighborhood, no, I try to keep peace, so it's only right that I get in the streets. Much for a reason, I just don't GP. How people die for us to be free. What do you mean?
Hey everyone, just before we continue, we just want to say we made a mistake. George Zimmerman, the killer of Trayvon Martin, was not a cop. He was actually some neighborhood watch, some wannabe cop. We should not give him the respect of an actual job. In the words of Roddy Ricch, I just put 100 bands on Zimmerman shit.
So welcome back from our break, guys. We have a special interview with Louis March. So he's a part of the Zero Gun Violence Movement. He's done a lot with Black Lives Matter and a lot for our city, a lot for our country, actually. And within the youth of our city and low-income neighborhoods. Louis, you wanna say hi?
Yeah, man. Hello. Good to be here. Glad to be here with you guys. Yeah, it's been some time doing some work, you know.
How was your weekend?
It was another productive weekend. We did a march for black students.
Oh, yeah?
On Saturday. It was supposed to be raining, thunderstorm, and everything. That didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually marched from City Hall to Queen's Park and just made it clear, made it point clear that, you know, black students need a better shake in the school system.
Right.
We need fairness. We need equity. We need access.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need streaming, right? We don't need suspending. We don't need expulsions.
Right.
We just need a fair shake in the classroom so that we can all learn, just like everybody else wants to learn. We want to be able to achieve our maximum potential, just like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we just don't want to be kicked around in the school system. So that's what the demonstration was about, demanding that the school boards take an active role in doing what is right.
Mm-hmm.
Not for some people, but for all. So it was, yeah, it was good in that sense.
I remember a while back, we did a workshop like this in our school. It was about black excellence. And they said an old statistic about how black students were suspended 3 times more than white students.
Mm.
And so we were trying to like get to the bottom of this and why it's like that. And it's because like the black students were not catered to, like how the white students were catered to by teachers and by like principals as well, that the black, like, that the black students would literally get picked on by principals. And it, at this workshop, we were like talking about it in our school, and it was upsetting a lot of the black students because a lot of people could relate, because they felt like, you know, if there was a conflict between a white person and a black person, it would always be, what would you do? Mm-hmm. That would be the question posed to the black person. What did you do? That would be the question posed to the black person.
Right.
Yeah. And that's been going on for years.
Yeah.
I've been around too long, far too long. But it's been that way. You're a target from the first day you go into school. If you're walking around in a black skin as a black person, you're targeted. You're not expected to achieve your maximum potential. And they're not going to give you the supports, the encouragement that they would normally give to any legitimate student.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, like, we don't expect much from you, so we're not going to give you any attention.
It's a shame, you
know, mm-hmm.
like from such a young age and having to like come to that realization.
But the thing about it is, when you're starting at that age, when you're just starting to attack a certain person's identity, their existence,
mm-hmm.
it becomes very traumatizing, and it limits you right. to not only what you accomplish in the school, but even in life, right? It's traumatizing. And it starts at that early stage, and people will pay a price for it later on.
Exactly.
Yeah, it becomes psychologically damaging, right?
Of course it does.
And it affects the way you view... I mean, obviously, I can't speak from personal experience. I'm not mm-hmm. a black person. But, you know, it affects the way you view, not, I guess, white people of authority for generations to come, no?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the protest was about. So I did speak for a couple minutes,
mm-hmm.
and I said, unfortunately, there's nothing that we're going to say today that has not been said before, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20, 25 years ago, the same things were being said. And they have not made the changes necessary for all students to feel welcome within the education system.
Mm-hmm.
They've not made the changes.
Mm-hmm.
However, because we're getting better at demonstrating and demanding, getting statistics, data, you said 3-1. I think it's more than that. It was more than that. But now there is a groundswell. A lot more people now are saying, yep, something's wrong, and we need to do something about it. Not tomorrow, but today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's evident that, you know, you really do care about young people. And then that makes me wonder, you know, one thing I've noticed the last few years is that the city is hot. Like, some of my friends, like, I know some people who will kind of joke in a weird way that, like, being a rapper from Toronto is becoming one of the more dangerous professions, right? The city is becoming really violent these last few years. How, as someone who organized the zero gun violence movement, how often is that just on your mind whenever you're just doing anything?
When it comes to the work, there's no pause button
right.
on our work.
Right.
Like, on the weekend, there was a shooting of 4 people
mm-hmm.
in Kensington Market Sunday morning.
Heard about that.
Last night, there were more shootings, right? In Hamilton, there were shootings, right? In Mississauga last night, shootings,
mm-hmm.
right? It's ongoing. And I... there's no pause button. The work right. has to continue.
Mm-hmm.
We have to continue to focus on how do we get out of the cycle of violence?
Mm-hmm.
What's causing it? Right? Why are people picking up guns?
Mm-hmm.
Why are people getting into criminal activity?
Mm-hmm.
And why are people giving up on life before right. they even live?
Why do you think so? Why do you think people are picking up guns and staying in this cycle of, you know?
Because they think that's the only option that's available to them.
Right.
They've been denied access. Their identity has been challenged.
Mm-hmm.
They're not employable because they haven't got the academic requirements.
Mm-hmm.
They're black. And they walk into a job interview, then all of a sudden, it's like going for an apartment. You get the apartment, but when you mm-hmm. show up and the superintendent sees that you're a black person, all of a sudden things change.
Right.
It's anti-black racism, right? Where all the access points for success are shut down. So the only option available to a lot of these young people when they live in neighborhoods where violence is normalized. Mm-hmm. Because this is a point where you can make money. You can do the hustle, you can make money. Mm-hmm. But it comes at a high cost. It's high risk and it's very short term. But people do not mind that, taking those chances. So we're not providing enough positive alternatives.
Right. I agree with that. And like you said, positive alternatives, like a lot of people, social media being how it is now, it's turned into a positive outcome where you see a rapper and you want to be like them and they become your role model, mm-hmm. especially them being from your neighborhood. And you see, wow, they're doing great things. I love their music. I want to be like them. But you don't see that they're inciting violence within their work and their art. And you fall into their footsteps and you fall into the wrong path.
Mm-hmm. So what we find is that the whole characteristics of gun violence over the last few years has changed dramatically. So in 2005, we had 52 homicides due to gun violence. 52, mm. right? Last year, I think we were at about like 35. The year before, maybe 40, right, and so on. The people picking up the guns are much younger now.
Mm-hmm.
Access to guns has changed. People are still saying it's easier for them to get a gun than a job in certain neighborhoods. Like someone's going to say, it's easier to get a gun than a job? That's crazy.
Yeah.
But that's real.
It is.
Right? The brazenness of the shootings in broad daylight.
Yeah.
Like 10, 15 years ago, there used to be a code. Who do you shoot? Who could do the shooting? When could you do the shooting? Right? Right now, it's like it's a open season. Anybody with a gun can do this. And it's not under the cover of night anymore. You see a lot of shootings now in broad daylight.
Mm-hmm.
So you have young people, access to guns, the brazenness of the shootings, and social media. Social media has become a great influencer in terms of violence amongst young people these days, whether it's music, whether it's bragging, boasting, challenging, threatening.
Mm-hmm.
Like some of the people, we don't even call it social media anymore. We call it forever media. Because if you put out a post out there and you challenge somebody or you boast about what you've accomplished, it's out there.
Yeah.
It doesn't disappear. Mm-hmm. Whereas before, it was, you know, I saw you in the mall or I saw you on the street and everything took place there. Now thousands of people are seeing mm-hmm. and now you have to act on it.
Yeah.
You have to act on it, right? You have to defend yourself. You have to defend your neighborhood. You have to defend your group. You have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So things have changed dramatically in terms of gun violence and other forms of violence that are taking place with young people right now. So yeah, no pause button in our work.
And I would say it's like a cycle.
Because right.
This just happens in your block, in your neighborhood. And then now the younger kids have to like pick up what you started. Because you either go in jail or you die.
Right.
And next thing you know, you have this neighborhood that dislikes your neighborhood.
No, it becomes a neighborhood beefs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like a Regent Park and Alexander Park.
Exactly.
Right? Lawrence Heights and Neptune.
And let me tell
right.
you.
Right, Rexdale.
Yeah.
You just go through the whole city.
Exactly.
And there's mm-hmm. beefs that were started 5-10 years ago that most people don't even know what it was about.
Mm-hmm.
And you're still battling.
Let me tell you how difficult it was for me. So my school was beside Alexandra Park. They found out I lived in Regent Park, and it was just over from then. I was 14. It was grade 9.
Imagine that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. everyone. I didn't even know about this beef because you know I wasn't in the social media stuff. And then next thing you know, like people trying to attack me at school for what?
Because they found out you're from Regent.
Exactly.
So you have these things mm-hmm. going on.
Yeah.
You have the other thing that they mentioned about access to guns.
Yeah.
Brazen shootings. And it's the amount of innocence.
Exactly.
So you don't have to be the target.
Mm-hmm.
But if your community is the target mm-hmm. and you live in that community, you become a target automatically.
Yeah.
If you're born in that community, you just automatically have that price on your head.
Right. So and mm-hmm. that feeds into that cycle of violence.
Yeah.
So what are we doing to interrupt this cycle?
Right.
So that young people can have a chance at the long life. Mm-hmm. Or a worthy life.
I mean, what can we do?
There's many things that need to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not rocket science, the solution to gun violence, right? There's many things that need to be done, but it has to be done on different levels. So whether it's government, whether it's community, right, whether it's individual, right? The first word in community safety is not police, mm-hmm, because, you know, they're reactionary, right? It's not politician, because everything politicians do are motivated by voting and politics.
Yeah.
Right? The first word in community safety is community.
Right.
So the community has to take a more active role. Right? Like when you go to buy a pair of pants, right, you know, and you pay your taxes, that tax goes to the government. Mm-hmm. And they're supposed to spend those tax dollars for the benefit of everybody.
Right.
Not only some people. Right? So you're paying taxes, but you don't have access to the community center.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense? Exactly. Right? So all of these things are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Politicians make decisions for political reasons. Police are reactionary. By the time police get involved, it's too late.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? They're trying to focus now on a more preventative approach with their community officers and so on, that try to build relationships with the community.
Mm-hmm.
But young people do not trust the police,
exactly,
and the police do not trust us.
Yeah.
Right? And that's a history. That's historical.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you have a new chief that says, we want to invest in building community relations, right, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult to accomplish it because of years and years and years, mm-hmm, of police brutality.
Mm-hmm.
Let's call it for what it is. Like, last year we had a lot of young people protesting. Like, we'd organize an event and we'd expect 200, 300 people. 1,000, 2,000 people would show up.
Mm-hmm.
Defund the police, police brutality, right, was topical. That was, most of those protests were about that, right? Young people just saying, enough is enough. We've had enough of it. Mm-hmm. We had two shootings, not last year, the year before. Maybe it was last year. Where somebody with mental health problems phoned the police for help. Yeah. And they ended up dead.
Mm-hmm.
This happened in our community too.
So we got a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a young person growing up has to deal with the violence within the community. Right? The beefs, the retaliations. But you also have to deal with the violence from the powers that be, whether they're police or politicians. And politicians also are creators of this violence,
mm-hmm,
right? So this is what we have to deal with. So how do we get out of this mess?
And on a community level, so I work with MLSC Launchpad.
Right.
So that's like a camp where kids go. And one day the police showed up, or like they emailed and they came and they asked if they could input the police within like our programs. And so they have like these big vests on with the police on them, and they're carrying guns and they want to play sports with the kids, and they thought it was a good idea. And we were just asking them questions like, so you can't put on a different outfit or something. They're like, no, so if we get a call, we just have to go. So you think you can just play soccer with kids with a gun on your waist? Like, you know, kids are not going to feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially they see all these shootings online, like, you know, for a kid to get a phone nowadays, it's so easy. And they see what's happening to black youth, especially in America. That bridge to trusting the police is very far.
The police have been trying recently, but their approach is not going to get them the results because, mm-hmm, they've got so much history to undo,
mm-hmm,
to clean up this mess. Like, even, like I'm going to give you an example in one community that we've worked in, where there was an attempt by the police to improve relationships with the young people. They showed up in the youth center in cut-off jeans, t-shirts, and they sat down to speak to the young people. Of course, the young people didn't trust them at the beginning, and it was more like antagonistic.
Mm-hmm.
But over a period of time, just their presence in non-traditional policing uniform, there was a dialogue that started, right? And I'm saying, hold on a second, maybe if they can continue this, we might make some progress. But then a month later, there's a case in the same community where a 13-year-old kid in school is not fulfilling his bail requirements. He's not supposed to associate with another person. So some call goes out, and 8 police cruisers show up to take down the 13-year-old. The 13-year-old is running, and they can't catch him. A canine division with a dog shows up. 13-year-old, because he's not fulfilling his bail conditions, because he's not supposed to associate with somebody in his school. Right? 8 cars, canine division, 13-year-old. So when that hits the neighborhood, or they see it unfolding in front of them, all the good work that had been done before gets thrown out the window.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Right? So there's a lot of work to be done to make sure that this is not a one-off, that this is consistent. We've had many basketball tournaments where police have shown up in their uniform with their guns. And you know the way they stand up and the way they walk?
Yeah,
their
right?
Oh, yeah, like, right? That's like a football quarterback.
Right?
Like they're about to wrestle.
I swear that they have a camera in their cat and they're filming the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right? The way they carry themselves.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is that the police are trained to enforce law.
Yeah.
They're not trained to be community angels.
Yeah. Maybe that's the issue.
Well, we give them guns. We teach them how to intimidate. We teach them how to enforce law. And not only that, we give them the legislative authority to kill if they deem it necessary. So what they deem is necessary and what we deem is necessary,
different.
Very different.
It could be different. So they have a lot. So, and we speak about social media. You speak about what's going on in the States. It might not happen in your neighborhood. But because of social media, everything is captured now on phones.
Yep.
And it's distributed. So we don't have to listen to the police version of what took place anymore.
Right.
Right? We don't have to listen to it anymore because we have it right in front of us. Right? So this is what they have to undo. Right? So in terms of what can community do, is do you want to go into that right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
So
we have 5 minutes, but then we'll go.
Okay. Community has to step up.
Yes, yes.
You cannot entrust police and politicians to decide on the well-being and welfare of your community. So we had a parents' conference here in Regent Park 3 years ago to talk to parents who had lost children to gun violence about the supports and services. Right? Not many parents showed up. Service providers showed up, but not many parents. You got to show up at these events.
Right.
You got to show up at your school events. You got to show up at your community events and know that you've got other things going on, but you got to show your presence. Right? Another thing that needs to be done on the community level is the community organizations have to stop beefing with each other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They have to stop it.
Yeah, we've heard of that.
Right? Stop it. Come on. How many shootings have you had in Regent Park?
Yeah.
Right? And it depends on who was shot and where it was, who would say what and who would not say anything. Right? Collective impact, collective engagement means we have to leave those beefs. So it's not only the gangs and the police have beefs. The community have, organizations have beefs.
Yeah.
We have to stop it. Right? We have to support each other. We have to attend these events because the government is trying. Even City Hall, I have to give them credit. They just gave us an award for our work for community safety. So somebody says, Louis, be careful about accepting that award because if they give you an award, that means they're going to want to control you.
Yeah.
Right? And I says, well, they're going to have to figure this out because that's not going to happen. But I know that they've done some stuff in terms of crisis response, dealing with trauma in communities, right? Like, for example, if there's a shooting or stabbing or a fight in the school in the morning, by the afternoon, we send in a trauma team. Not we. Public health sends in a trauma team to work with the young people to make sure that they're not traumatized by the violence.
Can I mention something?
Yeah.
I feel like this is all preventative. And I think I mean, this is all not preventative, and this is all reactionary. All of these, like, I found organizations and all of this, I think they're all not preventative. And I think what to make preventative is that gap between youth and parents, and especially, like, the adults in this community. There's no connection between the adults and the youth.
And why not? You know what? I don't know if I could parent in today's world, because the children...
I don't think there's no effort.
I don't think there's no effort. Stop it. The children are more consumed with social media and the technology. The adults don't have that anymore. Mm-hmm. They're not connected the way you guys are connected. Mm-hmm. Right? We've had cases where a young person going to the parent to ask what can they do. Then they go and Google it.
Yeah.
Right? And the parent says, all you have to do is ask me.
Yeah.
But the parent is in one world, the young people are in one world, and there's no effort to make that connection. Also, there's tradition. When we grew up as parents, as adults, there were certain traditional beliefs that everybody accepted, where the parent was the influencer, the decision maker, the provider, right? Young people today don't see that. They don't grow up with that tradition anymore.
Mm.
They don't. They grew up in a Western society with different values and beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
So now we know the reality, right? What do we do to close the gap? We need to create spaces where both the young ones and the adults are participating together. We have cases where the young person is at home. And when the young person is at home with a parent, with the traditional beliefs, the young person is doing everything that is right. But guess what? As soon as they step outside, they have to become somebody else.
Yeah.
The parent doesn't know what's going on. Because when is at home, they're doing everything right. But as soon as they step outside the door, you have to have a certain thing about you, right? So all of these things are going on, and we're not doing enough.
I mean, maybe it's just they don't see how other youth are because of social media. Parents nowadays still have Facebook. Who has Facebook? No one uses Facebook anymore. We need to upgrade.
Excuse me, I use Facebook.
Facebook is a parent's thing.
We need to use what youth are using in 2021, seeing what these rappers are promoting, and you know, and what these youth are promoting, most importantly.
The parents are busy at work.
That doesn't mean you can't tend to your child.
Yes, but the thing is, when they come home and they're speaking a certain language, the young person is speaking another language.
That doesn't mean that they need to learn this whole new language. That just means they need to transition into what they're using and use something else. And use what their youth are using.
And some parents are doing that.
That's facts.
Right? Some parents are doing that. But the thing with the technology today, on Monday, you come out with some new phone or something.
Yeah.
And by the following Monday, there's another one.
You can still use the same apps.
But the thing changes so quickly.
I know what you mean.
Right? Yeah. So as soon as you invest in learning about what's going on, it changes. So the speed of the change is sometimes outpacing. Mm-hmm. So we have to understand this, and we have to do a better job. Maybe we should have schools set up, not only for young students, but also for our parents.
Take parents back to school.
I didn't say it. You're the one that said it. but we have to look at things differently, just like how the police have to change, just like how the politicians have to change. Right? The community has to change too.
Yeah.
And we're not doing it. And the longer it takes us to fix this, the more problems are created and the more difficult they become in terms of solving the problems. Right? So how do we move forward? Community has to step up.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be the first responders, not the police.
Right.
Because when the police show up, like, sometimes guns are blazing.
Yeah.
And we've seen it.
Yeah. They make it worse.
The facts are out there.
Yeah.
Okay. How do we bring community? Are police trained to deal with mental health cases? Because a lot of those situations that they show up, there's a mental health problem. Are they trained? Just showing up with your uniform and gun is traumatizing to somebody that's in stress.
Mm-hmm.
So they have acknowledged that this is a problem. And now they're trying to craft a response. Because defunding the police is scary shit.
Yeah, it's big.
Right? It is big. Right? And you're right. When there is a criminal action that takes place in a community, guess who's the first people we're going to phone? The police.
Mm-hmm.
But when the police show up, nobody wants to be seen with them.
Yeah.
Think about it. They're like that's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? We're going to phone you because we figure you can help solve the problem. But when you show up, we don't be seen with you. Because we don't trust what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. How can we operate a policing system in that environment?
Yeah.
Right? You think any young people want to be seen talking to police?
No.
Right? Mm-hmm. So the police have to change. Community has to change.
Community has. Yeah.
The parenting model has to change. And maybe we set up classes in school for parents. Right? Because parenting also has to change the way we parent our children these days.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Louis March, head of Zero Gun Violence. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
That was helpful. And you guys do the work that you're doing.
Yeah.
That got me going.
That was fun. That was a really good conversation.
Yeah. No. Let's do more. Like, I've known Adonis from we started.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So from we started Zero Gun Violence.
Yeah, we got to do more.
But
get him in the evening.
Yeah.
And the young people need to listen to a different perspective of how we see the problem. Because the way the young people see it, the way the parents see it, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
Is it wider?
Yeah.
Right? But your organization, even the work that you're doing here, is a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
Right? But how do we sustain it?
Right, working in our
course.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like every time I, like when I listened to the news this morning, there were three news items, shooting.
Right.
Yeah.
Imagine if you've lost children to gun violence.
Yeah,
and you have that, to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if your friends have been lost to gun violence,
mm-hmm.
right? Nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants that.
Right. Like last week, we had some people from Mothers of Peace come on.
Yeah.
Like imagine being any of them and just waking up, checking the weather, and then you see that three shootings in one day.
Like one of the mothers we work in, she's lost her two sons to gun violence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not one, two of them. Mm-hmm. She had no more.
Yeah.
Imagine waking up in the morning knowing that a birthday or an anniversary, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you wake up?
Yeah.
How do you wake up?
Yeah. Well, that's something I was. Let's just keep going. Whatever. That's something I was.
Are we still on the air?
Yeah.
Let's just keep going for like five more minutes. One thing I was also curious about is that, you know, the thing with working in his field to fight against gun violence is that the bad parts is really the ultimate price that any human can pay, right? The worst case scenario is death. And that, so how do you, so let's say, how do you keep motivated? How do you keep from getting burnt out and just exhausted from everything?
Yeah. That's a big question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to deal with the issue first.
Okay.
So I'm going to use an analogy. When you throw a brick into a pond, you see a big splash.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ripples come out.
Right.
Right? But over a period of time, those ripples subside.
Mm-hmm.
And the pond looks normal again.
Yeah.
When you're dealing with gun violence, when you throw that brick into the pond and the ripples come out, it never subsides. It never comes back to... How can it come back to normal when you've lost your children to gun violence?
Right.
And not only that, the ripples get larger. That's why we have to deal with this issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because it feeds into a beef between communities. It feeds into beefs between families.
Mm-hmm.
individuals, and it just on goes, right? So, no pause button.
No pause button, yeah.
How do we maintain our sanity and our drive to do this work? You know what? I'm fortunate. Zero Gun Violence Movement is not your traditional organization in any way, shape, or form. We don't have a president. We don't have a head office. We don't take money from the government. Right? But we have a network of people across the city. So whether they're in Lawrence Heights, whether they're in Alexander Park, whether they're in Regent Park, we have a group of people, and they're all volunteers. I'm the founder. Right? That's all I am. I'm the founder.
Right.
Bring all these people, organizations together. But we support each other. Right? We support each other. Right? Because there's not one person in Zero Gun Violence Movement that's going to make a difference. Right? We work with the communities. And we see positive results from the work that we're doing. That is encouraging.
Yeah.
Right? But we also understand the reality. We also understand the reality that we can't be everywhere all the time. And people have other things going on in their lives. We know that. So we're not expecting, the mayor always, you know, what's one thing I can do to solve this problem? One thing that you can do to solve the problem, so stop asking that dumbass question. Right? Right? There's not one thing. The only thing that you can do as mayor is show some leadership in bringing all the people together and providing space for them to work together. Because we have one department over here, one department over here, one department over there, and they're all doing their things in silos.
Yeah.
Right? And not only that, they don't like each other.
Yeah.
So they ain't going to work together. Right? So we see policing doing things. But where's public health? Where's social development? Right? Or the district school board? Everybody's working in their silos. Right? So we know what the problem is. We've been at this too long. Right? For us not to know what's going on. Right?
It's city violence, not neighborhood violence.
Right. It's bigger than that.
Yeah.
It's bigger than that.
It's bigger than city. Right? It's even bigger than that. Because we can speak to people in Montreal. We can speak to people in Winnipeg. We can speak to people in Ottawa. Right? It seems because we have a political system. We have a society where anti-black racism is a major concern.
Yeah.
Like there's a difference between, even in Toronto, there's a difference between living in, say, Rosedale and living in Rexdale. In Rosedale, all the people have resources and supports. They have good family structures. They got good jobs. They got good education. They've got good playgrounds. They got everything good. They have nothing to worry about. But you go to Rexdale, you better be worrying. Because they don't have good jobs, they don't have good family structure, they don't have opportunities, employment. Like, so we know it. So we know this. So if we can see it, you don't think the politicians can see it? What are they doing about it? Right? So that's why I say community has to really step up and be the driver here, not the passenger. Right? So for us to keep moving this, because the young lady that has lost her two sons to gun violence, she works with us. And that gives her a reason to live. We've had one mother that says because of the work that we're doing, she's still alive. So we see the successes. Right? You're not going to see it on the front page of the newspaper. But when you work on the streets and young people are coming up and say, oh, I remember you. You came to our school and you spoke. And it really had an impact on me. Right, you know? What can I do to volunteer? Or what can I do to make a difference? Because when we speak, we're not speaking from a policing perspective. We're not speaking from a political perspective. We're speaking because we actually do care. And that's what keeps us going. because we see the results of that. We just need to do it. We just need to do it more, right? And stuff. So that keeps us going, right? So, but that is a good question, because you know we can easily get burnt out, but because of the broad network and the supports that we provide to each other, we're not dependent on institutions to do it.
That kind of leads to the next question, like, how do you keep motivated, like, with what's happening in the city? How do you just keep going and keep persevering?
So I have this stupid belief. I don't know where I got it from, but it's, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. So if I see something that's wrong and I back off, I become part of the problem. I've seen young people with a bright future all of a sudden ended. I see grieving families. I see grieving communities. So if I see all of this and I back off and I wait for politicians and police to do it, then I become part of the problem through our inaction. Right? So that is our motivator. That is my motivator and a lot of the people I work with. Right? Because we know we can make a difference. Toronto is a very resourceful, rich city. If you do an international survey with thousands of cities across the world, guess it's always in the top 10. Toronto. So when we put our minds together on something, we can normally accomplish it. We have just not put our mind together to deal with the gun violence issue and all the underlying problems of poverty, employment, mental health. We have not. We've done it in a very piecemeal way, and we need to coordinate this better, because when we coordinate our responses, we normally are successful.
Well, why do you think it's overlooked? Like you said, employment, stuff like that. Why do you think it's overlooked?
Anti-black racism, social inequity, right? The things that Black Lives Matter, right, is concerned about. How do we make this city safe and fair, not only for some people, but for all? But the majority of people are okay. There's a minority that is struggling. So as long as the majority are feeling good and doing good, they're okay. Why are they going to be concerned about the ones that are struggling? And who's going to take up that cause? Right? This is why we have this problem today. Because the majority of people are okay. Like what we're saying right now is going to be totally foreign. They're going to say, what the heck is he talking about? I don't have to deal with that. Like, I got myself a good job. I got myself a good family. I live in a good community, right? You know, I can walk the streets at night and feel safe, right? What the heck is he talking about, right? But the reality is, in certain communities in the city of Toronto today, when the sun sets, that community shuts down. Mm-hmm. Everybody goes inside and stays inside as much as they can.
Right.
But there's another part of the city. When the sun sets, everybody comes out. Alive. It's party time. Yeah. Right? It's alive. It's vibrant. Right? Everybody's got a smile on their face. Mm-hmm. But in the other part of the city, you can't even smile.
Yeah. Why are you smiling?
Like right. Everybody's in fear and despair. Mm-hmm. So why? Right? And I want to say this before we end up. What do we do moving forward? Mm-hmm. Last year when all those protesters were coming out and they were marching, one weekend there were like 3-4 different protests and demonstrations. Thousands of people. Mm-hmm. All those people that came out, all those young people that came out, when the next cycle of elections come up, whether it's provincial, whether it's city, whether it's federal, these young people got to start thinking about running for political office. You have to start thinking that way. Because between me and you, there's nothing that those politicians are doing that you can't do. If you put your mind to it. Trust me.
Yeah.
There's nothing that they're doing. Like, they're not walking on water. Right? They just show up.
Oh, you know, what do you think about this? Oh, this is what I think about it. Mm-hmm. Well, let's put up your hands. Let's see what majority says, right? Well, here's all the money that we got from taxes this week, right? And now how are we going to spend it? Well, you know, like, why don't we build something extra in Rosedale? Those people are complaining. Like, there's nothing that they're doing that the young people can't do if you put your mind to it. So this is where we make change. People will come to you and say, guess what? I really like the work that you're doing. You know, you're going to be our future leaders. No, you tell them, no, I'm going to lead today.
Right, yeah.
Because they're putting you off until tomorrow so that they can continue to benefit from today and do their madness. Mm-hmm. So the young people need to step up, seriously. Don't be passengers, be drivers. Mm-hmm. Don't only be walkers, be voters. Mm-hmm. But don't only be voters, run for political office and support each other. Because if you guys go on your social media stuff and you say that, you know, I'm running for political office, you can reach 1,000 people before those politicians can meet 2 people because they're still knocking on doors, right? You can run circles around them. The whole political landscape in the city of Toronto would change if young people realize that they can make the change. They have to be the change that they want and stop sitting down and waiting on people from yesterday to make that change for you. So I want to make that clear. You're not leaders of tomorrow. You're leaders today. And that there's nothing that they're doing in those offices and in those boardrooms getting that big salary that you guys can't do.
Right.
I just want to touch on this final note before we
okay.
end.
Okay, go for it.
I think a lot of black youth have the stigma of that we're trapped in this black box and that we have a glass ceiling above us. We don't have a glass ceiling. Mm-hmm. We can make so much impact. We can make so much change, like Louis said. I just want to thank you, Louis. I appreciate you so much for coming on today. This is probably one of our best podcasts.
Yeah, awesome.
Thank you so much. Unfortunately, we've reached our deadline of our time. So just thank you. And
No. Thanks for having me. Seriously.
Hopefully we can have you around another time.
Yeah, it was an amazing conversation.
No, you guys need to do what you're doing and just keep pushing. Mm-hmm. When they say think outside the box, forget about that. Break down the box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Think outside the box, my foot. The box is still there. Mm-hmm. Break it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have so much potential.
Just figure it out. Mm-hmm. Right? Just figure it out. And you'll see that there's nothing that they're doing that you guys can't do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bang.